And joining us on the KTEP Book Club today is Mary Higgins Clark. Mary Higgins Clark is the New York Times bestselling author of various novels. And if you like to be scared, like to be in suspense, like thrills, chills, then Mary Higgins Clark is your lady, and you probably are familiar with her work. Her latest book is Death Wears a Beauty Mask and Other Stories. And you're going, what? Other stories? Yes, it's a special book, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. But first, we'd like to take the time to welcome Mary to our show. Thanks, Mary, for being with us.
Oh, lovely to be with you again, Louis. Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you. We appreciate that. Now, as I mentioned, Death Wears a Beauty Mask and Other Stories is your most recent book. But this is something that I guess you have been working on for a while, like I think 1974 or something?
Well, it said in 1974, but I began working on it in 1970, and I couldn't figure out how to end it. And the way I was ending it, I didn't ring true to me. So I put it aside and very wisely started to write Where Are the Children, which was my breakthrough novel. But then I have been going through some old stories, some which had sold, and others which I could see the very reason, good reason, they hadn't sold. And then my son was the one who came across Death Wears a Beauty Mask, and he read it. I had written about 40 pages of it. And he said, you know, this is good. You really ought to try and finish it. So I made that my project over last summer and wrote and rewrote it until I felt, yes, this is okay. This is well told. And that's when my publisher said, we want to publish it, but we want to have other stories. They did that years ago with the Anastasia Syndrome, which was a shorted book, so we had And Other Stories in it. And that worked very well 25 years ago. So I picked out some short stories that had only been in obscure magazines, like the Mystery Writers of America, which went to the mostly to the members, you know, not on a broad scale, including my very first sold, the very first short story I sold for $100. So I think they're good supplement to the book. I really do.
We are visiting with Mary Higgins Clark. Mary Higgins is the New York Times bestselling author of various novels, and the latest one is a novella, and it's Death Wears a Beauty Mask and Other Stories. Mary, you mentioned that when you were working on Death Wears a Beauty Mask that you didn't like the ending, and you put it aside, and then you when you came back to it, you tried it again several times, and you still weren't that happy. For the benefit of our listeners, tell us exactly, you know, they're probably saying, well, from a writer's standpoint, I'm sure she gets all these ideas that come to her head all the time and she can, you know, write a story in a flash. But sometimes it comes in a flash, but sometimes it takes a while and you just get, you know, brain freeze or whatever you want to call it, writer's block.
Well, you know what happens when I have writer's block? I whisper two words to myself, and the clouds part. And you know what the words are?
No, ma'am. What are they?
Royalty checks.
Good. Those are good two words. Yes.
Those are good two words. And then, I mean, back then, the story was on the wrong foot. Beauty Mask was on the wrong foot, which I realized. But it happens to every writer. I mean, the first 50 pages I write over and over and over again so that I get the characters in. You like the characters and want to know more about them. You want that girl to get out of danger or whatever it happens to be. And then I rewrite them. And it's a funny thing. One book, Michael Corder, my dear editor of 50 years, I know it was Weep No More, My Lady, and when I gave it to him, I used to give it to him all at a time, but now I give it to him in sections. So if he has something, I don't like that. I'm closer to redoing it than having the whole book. But about that book, he wrote, he had a notebook. One, the story is wonderful. Two, the first 50 pages, Dickens could have written in one sentence. But he was absolutely right. I was giving too much information about the characters when you didn't know who they are. And it's as though you're sitting in or standing in a cocktail party and someone comes up to you and says, oh, I'm Mary Jones and I was raised in Scranton and I went to this college and I was best friend with your wife's almost best friend. On and on we go. You don't want to know that yet. You want to know in pieces that she's Mary Jones from Scranton, and then as you get to know her a little bit or care to know her, you want to know her story. And that's important to remember when you're writing a book. Don't throw in long bios of people before you know who they are and care about who they are.
We're visiting with Mary Higgins Clark. Mary Higgins Clark is New York Times bestselling author. She is the author of 24 previous suspense novels. Where Are the Children was the blockbuster that she mentioned. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. But the latest book is Death Wears a Beauty Mask and Other Stories. Okay, Mary, I just mentioned Where Are the Children, and that was the one that you said was the breakthrough for you because you put the Death Wears a Beauty Mask aside. You got frustrated, and I'm guessing, you know, you got frustrated for a reason, and it was a good thing you did, as you mentioned, because then came Where Are the Children?
Well, I was so lucky I put it aside instead of trying to force it. And then I had another idea that I decided to try, and that was turned out to be Where Are the Children? And I got a $3,000 advance from Simon & Schuster and thought I had died and gone straight to heaven to be published. Simon & Schuster. And, of course, I've been with them these 40 years. And occasionally, they don't do it now because they know I won't switch, but another of the big publishers will say to me, is there any way I can disenchant you with Simon & Schuster? And my answer is, the country girl who went to a square dance and her escort was not nearby her for a few minutes and someone else came and asked her to dance and she said, many thanks, sir, but I'll dance with the fellow who brung me. So I've been dancing with the fellow who brung me for 40 years.
And you've had some great dances, too. We are visiting with Mary Higgins Clark. She is the New York Times bestselling author. The most recent one is Death Wears a Beauty Mask and Other Stories. We want to talk a little bit about your early years, Mary. I mean, before you even started writing, and a lot of people aren't aware that in late 1940s, early 50s, you were a stewardess on Pan American Airlines.
Yes, the 49 and 50, and then I quit to get married, as we did in those days. Most stewardess, they said the average life of her was a year and a half, because they all got married the captain or some such thing. Well, I didn't marry the captain. I married the boy around the corner. But it was a great experience, my God, to be 21 years old in Europe, Africa, and Asia. It was wonderful. And actually, I got the idea for my first story on the last flight I took into Prague. And by then, the Soviets had started closing the airports to the foreign planes. So I was on the last flight to Prague before it was closed to American planes. And there was a demonstration going on of the Russian air power. And the people were standing in the airport looking. But when our little American plane came in, they turned as one. And there was a big crowd, a mass crowd, and they waved and cheered and clapped for our American plane. And when we got down to the airport, the captain said, don't wander around. I don't like it here. We'll just pick up. We only had seven passengers. And when we took off, one of the men was weeping and said, there was no one in that crowd who would not give half of his life to be on this plane. And that triggered my first short story.
Visiting with Mary Higgins Clark. She is a New York Times bestselling author. Where Are the Children was the big breakthrough. And, of course, she has a new one out, and it's Death Wears a Beauty Mask and Other Stories. When I said you have a new one out, people wonder, our listeners wonder about you as a writer and writers in general. How often do you have to write or put a story out for your publisher? I would imagine it's according to your contract. Perhaps it should say two novels a year or something like that.
I have a contract for one a year with Simon & Schuster. Now, this year, the other book that I would have published first, I wasn't ready with it because I had done Beauty Mask. So that one is coming out in May. And that's unusual to have two in one season. But I like that one too very much. And it's all turned in. The copy edited is all turned in.
In addition to writing the novels and the short stories, this is something that I think is coming of age now or resurfacing, and those are audiobooks, but a lot of people compare audiobooks, especially the dramatized ones, to old radio dramas of the 1940s and 50s. And you worked for a while writing radio scripts, is that correct?
I started after I was widowed. Before that, I'd been home. I had 5 kids in 8 years, and I was writing the short stories and doing, you know, by the standards of the day, quite well at them. Saturday Evening Post, Red Book, you know, those magazines. Mm-hmm. Or if they didn't sell here, they invariably sold in England because they have so many women's magazines at that time. But then after Warren died, I couldn't count on writing short stories. So I took a job writing radio series, which was fun. And I said I became very smart. Now I was writing one, Portrait of a Patriot, and now I can say when I go to a cocktail party, wasn't Tecumseh the one, though, because I'd written this thing on him. And the guy I was talking to said, you won't be invited to too many cocktail parties if you start with that one. That was Bud Collier. He was a lovely guy.
Portrait of a Patriot, you mentioned that. Tell us a little bit about that. And it kind of morphed, I guess, into something else, different titles, working titles and non-working titles, and finally what came out with it in 2002. You want to tell us about this? It was reissued in 2002. I'm sorry.
Simon, I mean, Where Are the Children?
Portrait of a Patriot.
Well, I bought the painting that was the cover of it because my chic friend, she said, Mary, you know what you must have to do now? And I said, tell me. And she said, you must have your picture painted or photographed by Jill Cremins. And she said, you must buy the cover piece of art from the artist because you should have that. So I contacted the artist, who has become a very good friend, and this is 40 years ago, and I said, I'd like to buy the cover painting. It was $1,000. And he said, the only thing is, if I am having a showing at a museum, I must ask to borrow the picture, and he said, or the painting, and he said, I will have under it from the collection of Mary Higgins Clark. And I said, take out the from. This is the collection of Mary Higgins Clark.
We're visiting with Mary Higgins Clark. She is a New York Times bestselling author. The latest book is Death Wears a Beauty Mask and Other Stories. And we're kind of going back and talking a little bit about the early career of Mary Higgins Clark and some of the things that she's done. And we're finding a lot of neat things that are happening right now as far as, she wrote radio scripts. She worked as an airline stewardess. She's done a little bit of everything. And the one that we talked about that you set aside Death Wears a Beauty Mask so that you could start on something else, and that is Where Are the Children? And it's a book that keeps getting republished, paperback. You'll find it in hardback sometimes at garage sales or bookmarts, but it's still being passed around by many people.
Well, you know, just today I had a foreign author for it, and they're starting to redo my home series, my whole series. This one was Strangers Watching, and that's the second book. So the books still sell in Europe, or they rebuy it, you know, if the contract has expired. So my early books are still being published in Europe over again. and which is kind of nice. And Simon and Schuster reissue the paperbacks, you know, with fresh covers every X number of years. So sure, I'm glad to stay in print.
Did you always aspire to be a writer when you were young? Did you love listening to stories? Did you read? Did you like making up perhaps a suspenseful thriller stories? And, you know, as children, we have a vivid imagination, and that monster perpetually lives in the closet or under our bed. But we have these great things that we imagine. And sometimes as we grow up, we go, where is my imagination today? I used to have so many neat stories to tell.
Well, when I was six, I was writing skits for my brothers to perform in, poems, for heaven's sake. And when I was 10, my favorite newspaper article was Did Justice Triumph? And it was in the Sunday News, a two-page spread, and it would start something like this. 17-year-old Janie Crowell left dinner to walk her dog just as evening was setting in. The dog returned home with the leash trailing 3 hours later. Janie's battered body was found, and then they show the suspects and the clues, and then at the end of it was Ronald Rourke was tried by a jury of his peers and was acquitted, or Donald, whatever his name would be, was convicted by a jury of his peers and was hanged on such and such. Did justice triumph? And even when I was a little kid, I was covering the end of it so I could decide myself whether or not justice had triumphed. So I guess my mind was always going that way.
We're visiting with Mary Higgins Clark. Mary is the New York Times bestselling author. The latest book is Death Wears a Beauty Mask. And Mary, as a writer, you have stories again all the time. And people, I guess, expect you to sit down and tell me a story or write a story, and not realizing that it's not as easy as it may seem. It's just like if I went somewhere and they say, oh, why don't you interview us right now or do an interview because we like to hear that. When you're writing a book, a lot of classes are using your books for literature classes, thrillers, mystery writing, etc. However, people may not be aware that there was a book written about you by a professor, Linda DeRoche, who teaches English and American Studies at Wesley College in Delaware. Tell us about that. That must have been fascinating, and I'm sure that you were probably a little bit leery, maybe, of opening it and reading what other people had to say about you.
Actually, it is, because we all have a certain amount that is private unto ourselves. But I thought she did a lovely job with it, and very accurate, and very much as I think I am. So I was very pleased with that. Fortunately, I have no skeletons in the closet.
They're all in your books.
So I knew there wasn't going to be, and then this happened. So my life, I've always said, is an open book. Maybe it's too bland for most people, but certainly I just did not have any shadows, any skeletons in the closet. So it was easy to speak quite frankly and without hiding.
We're visiting with Mary Higgins Clark. She is the New York Times bestselling author of 24 previous novels. The latest one is Death Wears a Beauty Mask and Other Stories. We've been touching upon some of your other books, and particularly Where Are the Children? But let's get back to Death Wears a Beauty Mask and Other Stories. When your son convinced you to go back and look at it, tell us what was the two words you mentioned, royalty checks, but tell us about how that story came about and then also the other stories that you had to add on.
Well, the basic storyline on this one is that a young couple, after their honeymoon, come into New York. to visit Alexandra, Janet's sister, and she is the top supermodel in New York. Think of Susie Parker in the old days. She was so beautiful, it hurt to stand next to her. But now Alexandra is supposed to meet them, as she said, with a brass band at the airport, and she doesn't arrive. And her sister says forlornly, "I guess the brass band was held in traffic." And after waiting 2 more hours, they go to her apartment, and the housekeeper is there and tells them, "I haven't heard from her in 3 days. She didn't come from the airport on Monday night. And no one, everyone is calling, where is she? Because she's supposed to do a new commercial. And everyone is furious because this commercial has cost, it's a series of commercials ending with this one. And they need it to work with their print ads. And her sister knows something is wrong, said Alexandra would never, ever have left abruptly or not filled an engagement. And then they find out her luggage is at the airport. She had never collected it. So then the story goes on from there. But I think it's a good story. And, of course, there were no cell phones. You couldn't dial the cell phone and see where she was. There were so many possibilities available to the authorities than there were 40 years ago. So it was fun to do it from that viewpoint. And, of course, I had been in the advertising world, and my children had been professional models, which helped keep the coffers full when after I was widowed. But I did scenes from those days, which I think work so well in the story. So I think I like the story, and I wouldn't say that I wouldn't put it out if I didn't like it.
No, it
and then
does have other stories.
The short stories in the collection, I've only been in small publications when I was asked to write a story for something. They have not been read generally. And one of them, Voices in the Coal Bin, happened because when I was 3 years old, my parents had company in, and they put the phonograph record down. And I asked some man, he must have been a cousin or something, "Where are the people who are singing?" And he took me halfway down the stairs, pointed to the coal bin, and said, "The people are under the coal. They know when the needle goes down and they start to sing." I didn't go back to the basement alone for another 12 years. So that became a story, of course, with a different twist. But that became one of the stories that is in that. And the writer who did an article just out today in the Wall Street Journal, and he said, "You have a weird mind." I said, "Oh, that's good. I like to hear that."
Speaking of that, with those words you just mentioned, you have grandchildren, and tell us a little bit about what's it like for grandma to tell the grandchildren a story?
Oh, well, I always said that I read to them, "There is a madman hiding under your bed," which, of course, I did not do. But my grandson, he was 12 then, and I saw he had one of the books, A Strange Was Watching or something, and I said, oh, at that time he was not much of a reader, and I said, "Oh, Justin, I see you have my book." He said, it was on my reading list, and I said, How did you pick out that one? He said, "It was the shortest one I saw." And then there was a caption on it, "You can't put it down." And Justy said, "Want to bet?"
Children are so honest, aren't they?
Well, you know, you got such a kick out of it because it really is so much fun. And certainly they all read the new book when it comes out.
You also have you have a daughter who also writes, and you all have written books together, collaborated, but then she has also written on her own.
Oh, yes. Carol writes funny suspense, and she has 15 bestsellers of her own, and then 5 that we co-authored, and they were all for the Christmas market. So we had a lot of fun writing together. She took a year off, and now she's working. She's almost at the end of her new book. He said, I need my brain to clear, too.
As far as Christmas books go that you and your daughter put out together, I would imagine those are re-released every season. Is that right?
Carol is for one of the branches of Simon & Schuster, but we're under the same umbrella. And we had a lot of fun writing together, an awful lot of fun.
We're visiting with Mary Higgins Clark. Mary is the New York Times bestselling author of various novels. The most recent one is Death Wears a Beauty Mask and other stories. There is one of the stories in this book also that I'm trying to find it here, The Stowaway. Tell us about that one.
Well, that was my first published story. I was 22 and I was in the writing class, and we were given the task for the next week's class to write a short story. And the guy said, the professor said, I see the look of dismay on all your faces. You don't know what to write. I'll tell you what to write. Is there a family secret that is talked about in whispers? Is there an experience you had that was very strong? Is it something you read in the paper and you want to know more about it? He said, take those situations, say suppose, ask yourself suppose and what if, and turn that situation into fiction. And I have been doing exactly that. And that story, Stowaway, I had been a Pan American flight hostess, and I was on the last plane that went into Prague before it was closed to American planes. And there was a Soviet air show going on, a couple of thousand people at the airport. But when our little American plane broke through the clouds, as one, the crowds turned and waved and cheered and clapped for our American plane. And we went into the airport. I was the stewardess, and there were seven other men in those days, a radio operator, a third pilot, and on we go. And there were seven men, American men, coming back to us. And they said there was no one who would dare to advertise his American connections. And the captain came over and said, Mary, don't wander away. I'm going to fuel up when we get out of here. I don't like it here. There were guards with guns, holding guns. And when we went back on the plane, the crowds watched us go. Nobody waved, nobody cheered, nobody clapped. And one of the men on the plane, there were just seven of them, was weeping. He said there was no one in that crowd who would not give half of his life to be on this plane. And I thought, the old thing, suppose what if, suppose there is a 17-year-old member of the underground. They're searching the airport for him. And he had gotten on the plane. He says, help me, help me, help me. And since my brother had died in service at age 18, it was very easy to put his face on that boy. And that was my first short story. The stewardess struggling to keep the chief of police, who knows something is wrong, something is missing, something is happening on the plane, from finding out before they get into the Bonn government airspace. So it's a good story. You know, reading it, I look back and somebody said, well, you know, today we get someone trying to break into the cockpit. You have the refugees trying desperately to get out of a country. She said, you have all the elements that were true 40 years ago, 50 years ago, actually. So that's why that became my first short story.
Mary, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us here today. As always, twice now, but I've enjoyed visiting with you. We have had the pleasure of visiting with Mary Higgins Clark. She is a New York Times bestselling author. The most recent novel is Death Wears a Beauty Mask and Other Stories. Mary, thank you for being with us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Perspectives is taped and produced at the KTP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer, DJ Orozco. Our producer is Dennis Wu. You've been tuned to Perspectives. I'm Louis Science.